Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, August the 12th of 2019. And I'm your host for this evening, as usual, the Miracle Man. And there's a couple things I want to mention. One is, I'm so glad that you made the choice to tune into this program tonight, wherever you may be accessing the show, wherever you may be. You're all around the world, whether it be in this country or around the world somewhere else. We come to you from kind of Nowheresville, Michigan, as my pastor at my church likes to say. Out in the middle of cornfields. Now, where we are, Midland's a city, but we always say we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes. And so, but we're so glad you could join us right here from Central Michigan, and so glad you could be a part. And I know God's going to do some great things tonight. For those of you who choose to be a part tonight, be a part of what God has in store for you. Amen. Now, another thing I wanted to mention, Midland County Fair is this week. And that said, I have not been out there yet myself, but I do know that they do have a new ride out there this year. It's called the Star Dancer. And it looks like what it is it's a pendulum ride. That means it swings back and forth. The freak out, what kind of, is that a 180 pendulum or what? Or the freak out? Brooke, is the pendulum, is the freak out a 180 pendulum?
The freak out does, yeah, I would say 180.
Yeah, because it is a pendulum.
I don't think it goes a full 180, but it can get pretty close.
What's the least a pendulum can go, like 90?
I don't know.
I mean, like a swinging pendulum, period, even if it's not a ride.
I'm not sure how far it can go, or what the least amount
it can go. But the freakout is a pendulum. Well, this one is a 360-degree pendulum that goes upside down and goes up very high in the sky. I'm very excited about this ride. I've been hoping for, since a different company came into the fair several years back from what I had been used to, I've been waiting for North American Midway Entertainment to bring us something really big. As Play World used to have two, what I would call extreme spectaculars. Is that a good way to classify the Remix and G-Force as extreme spectaculars?
Yeah.
Because, or super spectaculars. That's a good one too, isn't it?
Yeah, like.
Because there's some that they, because and some of us, I don't know why they called the Freak Out a spectacular. I mean, no, excuse me. I don't know why they called the Vertigo a spectacular. It's not. It's a swing ride. It's a we can say it's a major ride or a family ride. I can't say it's a spectacular. A spectacular has to be at the very least, like the Freak Out, at the very least.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
But to me, really, that spectacular nameplate should really be saved for Remix, Star Dancer, G-Force, Zipper, another similar, like, either very high off the ground or very spinny or very much upside down rides. Like, all the rides, all the 200-foot rides at Cedar Point, at Cedar Point, only a couple of the biggest ones can be designated as, like, super spectacular. That makes sense, right? But of the Elite Eight, so many of them are so close that any given day it could change, you know?
Right.
So in a way, I've decided that the best eight I've just classified as the Elite Eight. But those are roller coasters. Obviously, at a county fair or even a state fair, it is different. Some stuff you should know, and then I'm gonna get off from the fair for tonight. Because remember, I said last year I did one of the shows live from the fair. Did it? A couple things you should know. Tomorrow is Kids Day. Pay one price midway, $15 per person from noon to 5, regardless of age, meaning even if you're adult, you get to pay the same price. Do you think the reason why they do that, but they call it Kids Day rather than Discount Day is because they want the parents to be able who ride with the little kids to be able to pay the same price? Is that why they do that? Is that why, rather than do different pricing for different people, why they just lower all of it?
Yeah, probably. Or maybe they just do it because that way, if you don't want to come all day, you don't have to pay for the whole day.
But that's probably why they do it as such. But that's probably part of why they just, rather than have two different rates for two different groups of people, why they cut the rate. But to me, what's crazy is that even the 3-year-olds have to pay $25 for a wristband, which is the exact same price that the absolute daring thrill seeker has to pay. To me, though, that doesn't make any sense. Like on a normal day, you would think that little kids would be the ones paying the least.
Right.
I feel like the kids' rate should be 15 or less by default for the little kids who are under, whether they say it's 36 or 48, I would say under 48, the rate's 15. And then for everyone else, it's 23.
Yeah.
And like those are the regular rates. That way, it's bit cheaper, but at the same time, the adults don't pay double. That's why I would say 15, maybe even 14 versus like 23. And then what I would do with the other ones is I would cut the kids down to 10 and then the regular ones to 15. Like on kids, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because for the kiddie ones, because you would think they'd think more about like the ages and stuff, but they don't do it that way. But it is what it is. Because anywhere else you take the kids, it's done by age.
Right.
Unless something's just priced so low to begin with, you know. But as I said a minute ago, that your weather for tomorrow, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers. Highs will be right around 80. Unlike last year when it was 90 degrees and humid, and I left like 45 minutes after I got there, that pavement, I tell you, listeners, I think that pavement, the pavement at the county fairgrounds might be some of the hottest pavement in town. Don't you agree? It was getting hotter. I had already been to a previous fair somewhere else where it was 90 degrees. A lot of that midway was in grass, but they were already shutting rides. Kids were not feeling so well on certain rides, so they kept shutting them down to clean up the messes. And that's part of why I left Midland when I did that day. You would have left too if you had been to that other fair, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah.
Because I think there it feels like what 100 would feel like in most other places in town. Well, don't you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Where if it's 82, I would say it feels about the same as like 86, 87. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
So that case, rather warm, but still comfortable. Other than rain chances, it looks like most of the week is pretty comfortable, except for Saturday, which looks to be in the mid-80s. But I really think it's going to be a great week. Don't you?
I hope so.
I hope so. I think it is. I think it is. And great props to everyone who's helping put everything together. All the 4-H kids who have worked so hard. Everyone else showing stuff. Everyone showing an animal. You know, I just saw a kid today at the city pool here in town. Believe it or not, she shows an animal. So she had to go, you know, feed it, water it, and then come into work as a lifeguard. And then I'm sure she had to go back out there tonight to do the same thing, to clean, to, you know. In fact, what did she show? A duck. And so, great props to all of those who are showing animals. I'm sure your work is very appreciated. And thank goodness for all these great food booths up and down the fairgrounds. The elephant ears, the caramel apples, though I don't eat those. The lemonades, I think those are a waste of money. I'd rather just have a root beer float. The slushies, the, you know, all that food out there, all these places who have, I was told that a certain place there, the guy who runs it, it's a place called Red Barn Fries there. Red Barn Fries has been at Midland County Fair for 41 years. Think about that, 41 years. And they're still there delighting people with their fries, and you can put vinegar on them. And I tell you, I feel delighted every time I have some vinegar fries when I'm at the fair. I feel delighted. They're just awesome. To be honest, Brooke, don't you think they should have a food pass?
Yeah, I think that would be a very good idea.
Yeah, and just make it like this big all-you-can-eat buffet. That would be so fun.
That would be pretty fun. Or maybe it's like, I don't know, maybe not for the whole week, but if you could buy one for just the day.
I think for a week.
Yeah, that would probably be pretty expensive.
I'd do it for like 25, 30 bucks, and it'd be good for the entire week. That's the way I would do it. The only ones without access, though, the ones that are owned by North American Midway.
Yeah, I just think that if you get a food card and if everything's free, then they probably wouldn't make much money unless the cards were pretty expensive.
Unless what?
People, I feel like the cards would probably have to be pretty expensive because otherwise they wouldn't make much money. Because if you get a food card for like $30 and then you can use that the whole week for as much as you want, they're probably missing out on money.
For some people, it would literally be pennies on the dollar.
Right.
And though it might be a great deal, they lose out. That's why I would limit how many of them there were to like 300 cards. To which I would always be one of the first ones to sign up for that card. And don't put on a lottery system either, because I want the card. You know? Let's just see. What do you want from the fair right now to eat? No questions asked.
Cinnamon roll.
Let me think here. Right this minute. No, for this we got to say it's just any time. Maybe you ate dinner, maybe you didn't eat dinner. Maybe you ate dinner and you don't care. You want dinner again. What do you want then? What do you, period. Still cinnamon roll?
Yeah, I think the cinnamon roll just sounds so good right now. Like mouth-watering.
Let me think here. I think some Red Barn. Red Barn fries.
Fries. That's what I thought you were
going to
say.
I would say some Red Barn fries and a corn dog.
Okay. Yeah, the corn dog is there. Okay,
foot-long corn dog, if only they had them.
Yeah.
I wish I knew where to find a foot-long corn dog at the fair.
Yeah, do you think that they have them anywhere?
I wish the Midland County Fair would put up a full menu of all the foods that are available there.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So that you wouldn't have to spend an hour looking for the certain food places that you want. I mean, I love being there, but you know what I mean. Just aimlessly looking around to see if anyone has it, you know? Because at one county fair in Michigan years ago, I found a foot-long corn dog.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. And it was really good. really was, and I really enjoyed it. And you might think, well, if you're one of these listeners who's been to the Mellon County Fair or another county fair, maybe you saw some of these steak tips and that there might be a place that has, they may say, what about those? I'd be like, you can find steak tips at so many restaurants. There's not too many restaurants where you can go find a corn dog without it being on the kids' menu.
Yeah.
That's why I think a corn dog just might be one of the best carnival food dinner choices they were out there. Because the hamburger, let's face it, you can get that about anywhere. And though, so now you feel like why I feel like the corn dog might be the best one. Because so much of the other stuff you can find at so many other places. You know? But the fries are a lot more special than the burgers at the fair, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
And the places that do the meal combos, sometimes you might have to just skip them and go to Red Barn and get them instead.
Oh, yeah.
Because those other fries, they don't compare. From what I understand, though, 4-H has some pretty good food, though. In that cafeteria, it's actually some really good food, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Even the fried stuff is really good, which is one of the best parts about the fair, and obviously seeing the animals, you know, just walking around, just sitting around watching everything, you know. You're taking a break from the midway, just sitting down on a bench. On the midway. Awesome. Now, listeners, I want to encourage you on something. I want you to make sure that you tell somebody you know about the show and how they can be a part of it. The number to call in to be a part of the show, maybe you want to talk to me about sports. Maybe you want to talk to me about, you have a Bible question. Maybe you want to reveal to me what your favorite fair food is. What is that it food that you have to go to the fair for that you can't really find anywhere else? Is there a burger place at Midland Fair maybe or something that I don't know about? Not you, I'm just saying like for the callers. If there is, I want to know about it. The number to call in to be a part of the show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. And seriously, if you want prayer, you have a testimony you want to share with me, by all means, please call in. I want to hear from you. And hopefully we can get some great callers tonight. All right. Now, I'm going to pray. After I pray, I want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Once again, that is Luke chapter 7. But we're going to pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I thank you for all of these listeners who have made the choice to be a part of this great show tonight, wherever they may be at tonight, whatever they're doing. Thank you that you just bless them. Thank you that you just speak a word to them tonight. And I thank you that you meet their needs, the needs of those listening to the show, whatever their needs may be. I don't know what everybody needs. You do. And I thank you that we're going to see these needs met once and for all. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Lord, I thank you that you just use me tonight as I deliver your word. I thank you that you just always go before me and strengthen me all the time. I thank you for what you've turned me into. And Heavenly Father, now, I confess over this show right now that sponsors and partners are coming into this radio program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program, that finances are coming into this radio program, and most importantly, Lord, I praise you, God, for souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this wonderful radio program. And I give you praise and all of the power, I mean, all the honor and all the glory for that this evening. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Now I'm going to Luke chapter 7. Please turn there in your Bible. Praise God. You know, maybe the miracle man, on this radio program, the Bible is our only textbook. I don't deal with all these flaky doctrines. By the way, don't you. Just stick to this. Stick to the Word of God. Because the Word of God has all the answers. And when you're going through stuff, turn to the Word. When you're sick, go to the doctor, do what the doctor says, but also, above all, go to the Word of God. Yeah, my kids have been acting up. Well, go to the Word. And the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. So whatever I do in the next few minutes, you just go ahead and follow along with me. All right? I'm in Luke 7. I'm going to begin in verse 1 right now. When Jesus had finished saying all of this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick, and he was about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation, and he has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and trusting the crowd following him, and turning to the crowd following him, I should say, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. Ooh, spooky. That's what some people think. A dead person was being carried out. The only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have just seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Stop right there for a second. The good news is preached to the poor. He didn't just mean financially. Maybe some of these people had a lot of money, but they just didn't know God. Back up one. He said, report to them what you have, go report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Nope. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected the Lord's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. You didn't cry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. I'm going to go down to let me see here. I'm not going to go all the way down to verse 50. I'm going to go down to like verse 42. No, 44. Verse 36 now. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to him, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender." Or we could say, two men owed money to the bank. One owed him 500 denarius and another 50. Neither of them had the money to pay back the loan. So he canceled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." I'm going to read a couple more verses because I want you to get this. Verse 45. "You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved me. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." All right. Now, let's talk. You have two different miracles going on in this chapter. One of them, the first one, at the start of the chapter, is where Jesus goes to that centurion. He goes to near that centurion. And he speaks the word over that man. And that centurion guy says, "You know, Jesus, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Just speak the word." The centurion tells Jesus about how this guy lives as a man under authority. "I say to this guy, go," and he goes. And that one, "come," and he comes. So this one, "do this," and he does it. I loved how this guy admitted to Jesus You know, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. You know what that shows? Humility. And then Jesus makes a statement that's really bold. I have not found so much faith in all of Israel. You know, faith is a vehicle. You want to, faith to a Christian, faith is like so important. It's like fuel for your car. Can't go nowhere without it. Your car can't go nowhere without anywhere without fuel. You can't serve God properly without faith. It only takes a certain amount of faith to go to church. It takes more faith to live right. The more sick you are, the more faith you need. Can't live by faith. You can't live by fear. You got to live by faith. Well, I've been in this certain condition. I've had this disease for 50 years. And I've been a Christian my whole life. When I was 12, I got this certain thing happened. I'm still not healed. I'm going to give up on God. Don't give up on God. Keep believing. Keep pressing in. You know, the woman with the issue of blood? Josh Barclay talked about this yesterday. They were in a place that was so crowded. Jesus was there preaching. And then he starts doing a miracle service, healing people. And it's so crowded. And this woman who has been subject to bleeding for 12 years, somehow she finds Jesus in the middle of that crowd. I imagine it was more crowded than Great Lakes has ever been. I imagine there was like total gridlock in that whole area, in that building or wherever they were. Imagine a place being that crowded. Wouldn't it be crazy?
It would be crazy.
So crowded that no one can move because it's complete gridlock. And I'm not talking about in your car. I'm talking about on foot. I mean, I don't think fire code would allow any place to get this crowded. Somehow, this woman's able to find Jesus and touch her clothes because she was so desperate that she said, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And with the condition she had been in, she wasn't supposed to be in public. All that bleeding, all that spending, all the money you had at the doctor's, and they didn't help you? Imagine some of those Pharisees probably said, "This woman is crazy. What is she doing out in public?" Most of the people who were there, many of them were so desperate, they could care less. And they were so happy that that woman was going up there to receive that miracle that she had been believing for. Now, there was no social media back then. There was no radio. There was no TV. There weren't exactly churches, so I don't know how she knew that Jesus was there. There was no Pastor Paul. It's not like, it's not like Peter, it's not like Jesus' 12 disciples were pastors of churches. And we'll say she went to Brother Simon's church, Pastor Simon's church, and Pastor Simon said, "Well, Friday and Saturday, Jesus is going to be there, and I want you to come see him. And if you're sick and need healing, by all means, please come. And we'll be out at the public square at 12-hour day. So, and it's about the time, so we'll say, we'll start service at about 9 in the morning. So be there as early as you can." No, it wasn't like that. But she found a way to get there. Somehow she got there. And she was so desperate that she decided, "You know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to receive my healing." And it takes going past all these people to get to Jesus and touch his cloak. I'm going to do it. Now today, if she did that with her car, can you imagine all that road rage? All the road rage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, her car would be totaled just in the process of getting up there. I can guarantee it. But, like I said, it was unfortunate. He just... she just pushed forward. You know, in life, if you're desperate in your life and you're desperate and you're believing for God to do something for you, you just got to press that close to God. The good news is that if you do that, you're doing that just to home or something, and you're just getting close to the Holy Spirit, getting close to the healing Jesus. You don't have to fight past all those people. Necessarily. But if you're believing for God for something that desperate, you just got to do whatever it takes. Even if, you know, you're at a conference and pastor says, if you needed a healing, get if he calls out a certain condition, he says, if you have such and such and such and such and such and such, get down here right now. If that's you, you run to that altar. You know, show God that you're desperate, that you mean business. Don't just I don't to God. No, I don't to God. You gotta mean business. I don't know, sometimes I'm kind of, nobody's perfect. I'm working on it. Everybody's got. If you believe in God for something, you just got to get desperate. Get before God. Believe in God that he's going to do what he said in his word. Just get to where you would be able to touch his garment. And to be healed. Whatever it takes. Lord God, I thank you tonight for this great word. I thank you that we will do this word, that we will be desperate for you, whatever we're believing for. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.